This is so stupid.
It's classic me. I don't think that it's like gay for a guy to get a finger in his ass.
Totally.
But you do have to admit that you've been fingered. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's different.
There's nothing wrong with having a podcast, but you do have to humbly admit I am a podcaster. You know what I mean?
Well, that's why I named this Tori's Stupid Podcast, because I think it's all stupid.
It's all stupid, and I would never do it except that I have to.
Exactly. You know, we have a dream that mm-hmm. we're trying to get to, and this is all part of the game we play.
Yeah, it is.
And if you call it stupid, no one else can.
So yeah. That's like it's like one time I was really jealous of this kid, Scott, and he was in fourth grade, and I was in third grade, and my crush, Katie Heinen, had a crush on him, and I knew it.
It's tough.
And he had kind of a big nose, so I told him that he had a big nose, like being mean to him. And he went, yeah, my nose is so big. It's like, oh, how do I even walk into a room? Like, and it's totally disarmed me in a way that I wasn't prepared for. And I still think, Scott Archer, if you're listening to this, it was one of the greatest lessons I've ever learned. I mean, I was literally 9, I think, and I still remember it.
That's beautiful.
He be-rabbited me.
Why, and do you use that tool in your own life now? If someone calls you something, you're like, you're right, you got me, bitch.
Yeah.
Do you have an example?
Well, if I ever say something like that's creeping down the path of gay mm-hmm. and my friends are around, I go, yeah, because I'm fucking gay. And they go, all right. You know, like,
yeah.
Happens on the podcast all the time with totally. Josh. Friendly Fire podcast, by the way, if you ever want to go listen to. If you listen to this, I'm not sure that you want to listen to mine, but I.
Why is that?
Because you are a woman and we are two stupid idiots.
Got it. Men. A lot of.
But I am a girl's girl.
You are. You seem like, I mean, I can see that in you. In our time together, I feel very much like I'm with a fellow bestie.
Yes.
And like that's... you shapeshift really easily into wherever you are.
Hmm.
In a good way. Like yeah. you're still truly yourself, mm-hmm. but you kind of flow into whatever setting it is.
I'm a man with many characteristics.
Yeah, I'd say so. And it comes out in your set as well. Like how you talk about gay tendencies, however mm-hmm. you're not, but you can speak to both sides of the podium very nicely.
Thank you.
Right?
For the record, I am a little gay.
Yeah. I mean, you've been with a dude.
Depends what your definition of a dude is.
Fair, okay.
But yeah, sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Don't let my fucking gay followers find this podcast. They'll be all over me.
That's so true.
I actually think they want me to be straight.
Why is that?
I think it's more fun for them to fantasize over a straight guy.
Yeah.
That they don't think they have a chance with, but they fantasize about the possibility of it than to actually be like, oh, I have a chance. I don't think it's fun that way.
Well, you're still kind of, you know, you're on their phone. You're not really attainable.
Yeah, I did. I received my first unsolicited dick pic last week.
Wow, tell me about it. First one ever. Tell me everything. First reaction. Was it in a DM?
Yeah, and I knew what it was because of the message that had preceded it.
Got it. Oh, so you had to click on it. It wasn't just there.
Oh, I had to click on it, yeah. Yeah. And I did. I did, you know.
You were curious.
I knew what it was. Yeah. I wanted to see. Yeah, 100%. Yeah, it was, guys in shape. Mm-hmm. The guy's in great shape.
Oh, it was like a full body.
It was like a mirror that was across the room. Mm-hmm. And it was like probably neck to like mid thigh.
Okay.
And yeah, and it said working from home.
No, it did not.
Swear to God.
I hate that shit.
It was funny because he was just somebody who he had followed me and come to a show in North Carolina. And the show that he came to was very lightly attended in the course of the weekend.
So he's like, I got a chance.
Which, by the way, yes. He was like, all right, so he's not like famous. That weekend overall was very well attended. He came to the worst show.
No.
I'm not saying this to defend my honor. I just canceled my show in Kansas City, in case anybody was wondering. Partly because of low ticket sales and partly because the funny bones are fucking bullshit. Anyways.
Yeah, you let them know. I'll clip that.
Maybe don't clip that, but I'm not afraid of it existing on YouTube, but we're not going to clip it. A lot of the funny bones follow my account, weirdly enough, and I don't, you know, I don't really love their club so far, but, you know, maybe one day.
Or maybe they need to step it up, and then you'll love them again.
But during that show, I was fucking around, and I told everybody, this part wasn't fucking around, I was like, if you guys want to come to a different show, so this was like Friday late, so like, I have two shows tomorrow that I know are going to be full, and I know I will do better. I'll try harder. And I want you guys to have that experience.
Yeah.
And I'm getting paid a flat fee for these shows, so I will give you all free tickets.
Are you doing the same material?
Well, the thing is like there was like 15 people in this show, so I was fucking around most of it. Okay. I did maybe 10 minutes of my act.
That's then, yeah, because you wouldn't want to sell another show where you're like, you're going to come here at the same
And that's why I told them that. I was like, if you come, I'm going to do my act tomorrow.
Yeah.
Which is kind of maybe disrespectful to them, but it's also like, whatever.
They don't know the inside baseball.
But he had so he messaged me after and was like, you know, he was being really nice. He was like, you were great. I know. Like, it was not only 15 people, it was 15 weird people. It was five awesome people and 10 people who were, you could tell that they were like, wow, this is not what I expected. And I'm going to behave weirdly about it.
Okay.
And so he was like, you know, I don't know why they were all being so fucking weird. You were being very funny, blah, 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 being nice. And so I responded. Never respond. So I opened Pandora's box, basically, and I don't know if you know the legend of that.
I sure do.
You can't close it.
I actually,
probably once or twice a week.
The demons are out.
The demons are out. The dicks are out.
Yeah.
He just responds to everything that I post, like, when are you doing your OnlyFans? Let me pay to see naked pictures of you, blah, blah, blah. Which I get sometimes, but he's been the most consistent lately. And so after weeks of that,
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I don't respond.
So he's just talking to himself at this point.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then I saw the picture and I was like, I know what this is going to be. Yeah. But I did still open it. So that's on me.
I love that the caption is just a casual working from home.
Yeah.
Just to make it casual.
I just want you to know this is my uniform when I'm working from home.
Mm-hmm.
Totally. I like to go butt naked.
Does this happen to you a lot, though, with women as well, though?
I've never
obviously we don't again
I've never received an unsolicited nude from a woman. No,
really?
Not that I can think of.
No way.
Like some like maybe I've had like people be very forward in my DMs, which I appreciate, by the way.
Yeah, okay, well, let them know.
Well, it's not like that. I appreciate it in this. It's not that I'm always
you're
gonna
flattered.
I'm flattered, and I'm also like, you know what, man, we're adults. If you you know, if you follow me and you want something, you should just say just say it.
I feel like a lot of people in your following maybe feel that way.
Maybe, I don't know.
I think that's interesting. I don't personally send them willy nilly. However, I've been on tour with other comedians, male comedians, and it's just floodgates. It's like one time we met this cute little blonde girl in line.
Mm-hmm.
She was very quiet and sweet and seen in the meet and greet. And then the person that I was with goes, look at this. Just the craziest nude I've ever seen.
What made it crazy?
Just all of it. Everything.
Yeah,
just
I like that.
All of it.
If you're going to send me a nude, fucking spread your pussy lips.
She like, sure
I,
did.
Like, I want it to be, I don't want it to be like tits.
You're like, I could see that any day.
Your ass in underwear sitting on a sink, which is, by the way, you guys trying to trick us.
How is that a trick?
Sitting your ass on the sink.
Oh, to like make it bigger?
Yeah. 100%. That's exactly you guys are trying to trick us. Oh, yeah. I'm sure that's what it's going to look like when we get there. It never
Mr.
does.
Angles. Okay. Look at
I
you.
Am. You know, I'm all about my angles.
You really know how to read through it.
Yeah.
Well, anyways,
you got to know.
That's why.
You got to know angles if you want to send a good dick pic, too.
Yeah.
That's why I've studied.
Do you send a lot of those?
Yeah.
Really?
Well, in my life, yes. I've sent plenty of dick pics.
Do you ever
pics.
Get worried it'll go somewhere that you don't want it to go?
It's far too late for me to worry about that. It's far too late. It's all over.
But you keep your head out of it.
I've sent some that have me in it. And that's just a reality that I have to just accept, you
that's
know?
So fair, yeah.
It's just one of those things where it's like, also like a picture of my penis or a picture of me naked isn't going to like ruin my career.
Yeah. You're a comedian that talks about a lot of things.
Yeah, like I'm a pretty sexual person, yeah. And I also like, yeah, like I don't think it'll. I mean, it would be embarrassing. Sure, it would be embarrassing.
Way to come back to earth for a second, yeah. Totally.
Yeah, I'm not just like nothing can be a problem. Like it would really bother me if somebody was like, "Hey, by the way,
I saw this.
We saw that one," and I would be like, "Oh no, is it the underneath one?" No, I don't do that.
That's fair.
But yeah, so yeah.
I think that's also something that's charming about your comedy overall is that you say these things, but then you bring it back to reality and you're very like self-aware. And that's something that I've been finding in general where it's like you can be fucking nuts, but if you call yourself out and you're funny about it, I think it level sets the amount of crazy you're able to put out there.
Sure. Yeah.
No?
I mean, no, yes. Myself. Yeah. No, no. Great take. Okay. Honestly, I agree with you entirely. Self-awareness is my suffering.
Really? You think you're too self-aware?
No, but I think I'm just self-aware enough to be like,
for a guy, for sure.
This is kind of a problem.
I think you've got more than, you know, a lot of men.
Well, thank you. Yeah. I just, sometimes you just have to accept what, you know, I have like the worst horny brain in the world.
That's tough.
And I also didn't really consider that getting like a bunch of tattoos when you like to send pictures of yourself naked would be conflicting ideologies.
You might as well put your name above your dick.
I mean, might as well.
Know,
and you just have to accept that. That's okay. Oh. It's like, you know. I also think we're kind of past that, though. Remember whenever, like, there was that big nude leak? I mean, it was, like, Jennifer Lawrence's
Yeah. It was
nude,
the
like,
iCloud.
I mean, if somebody got in my iCloud, it would be a real problem, by the way.
Some hackers out there are like, all right.
You can't. I mean, you can't. If you want, that's fine. You're going to. Really, it's the. Never mind. But yeah, I think we're all past that though, especially now with OnlyFans, like because so many people are just marketing themselves with that anyways, which I'm no slut shaming here. Yeah. I love sluts. So,
you should get merch that says I love sluts.
I would love that.
You should. It's a really good like marketing tool for you.
Yeah. I just accept donation for these stickers. Yeah. Not, you know, $1, $20. It just says I love sluts.
I think you should. I would want to buy like a camo shirt that's like I love sluts. Maybe like a little more niche. Cause I do think I've seen that before, but
yeah, I would have to make it a bit more creative. Yeah. Make a I love sluts Matt Ross comic or
call make it like it's vibrating, you know, like the text. Do you know what
I
mean?
Yeah, yeah, I know what you're
talking
about.
With like a vibrator on the shirt somewhere. I don't know. There's something there. Just make it yours.
Yeah, this sounds like I'm gonna have to hire somebody to design it.
Yeah,
I don't know about all that.
Well, you're going to get...
You did those Indiana shows with me, you think?
I did. I was there. Yeah, Matt and I went to Indiana. Helium did the smaller room upstairs. It was very fun.
It was. Most of it was fun.
I was going through a mental...
Yeah. Yeah, you were. That was awesome.
It was... I mean, I'm already laughing about it. But it was a hard time in the moment.
Because, of course. And every moment you had, you were like, this is not even that hard. you were like, I'm actually totally fine. And we were all like, yeah, go. Yeah, queen. Mm-hmm. Even like the host who didn't know you was like, that sucks. You're like, it's not even like that. Like, it's fine. And he was like, yeah, no, for sure. Yeah, for sure. And you're like, yeah, that's probably not bothering you at all. Like, you know.
Yeah, for context, the people listening, I went to Indiana for shows with Matt, and as I got there, I've got a message from a girl saying that she was hooking up with my boyfriend.
It was a hey girly text.
Is what they call them, which is a fun way to just say, hey, I've been fucking your boyfriend.
Uh-huh.
So I got that message, and then what was funny is that, like, I wish I had just, like, come to for a second before just, like, having a mental break.
Mm-hmm.
And I called him, and we basically, like, ended it there, and then I called Matt, and I was like, I just got cheated on. And then you're like, okay, I'm waking up from a nap.
Yeah.
You're like, what? I didn't even know you had a boyfriend. Like, this is too much right now.
I learned so much in like 10 seconds. It was like, I learned that you had a boyfriend and I learned that you no longer had a boyfriend because he cheated on you with another girl who told you about it. And I was just like, a relationship started and ended in this conversation Which that I had no clue about.
Is basically the whole relationship anyways. It wasn't True. Long. It was 3 months. So you basically got the whole story.
Yeah.
But you got more than you asked for after that.
I had chlamydia for 3 months one time. So 3 months is like nothing.
Oh, wow.
It was kind of a ping pong situation. This was back in 2018. It was a different Just time back then. Just same
person giving it back and forth.
Yeah, it was kind of a thing of like, I have it, now you have it, I'm getting treated for it, we didn't really wait long enough, now I have it again, and now you have it. And maybe 3 months is exaggerated, but...
That's hilarious.
Yeah, I'm just trying to put into perspective how short that relationship actually was for you.
No, I'm not going to mourn the loss of a goldfish. No. And like I said in the moment then, I said I'm fine, and I have been fine. I just get a little angry sometimes because I got more details because I did hang out with the girl.
I love women.
The details are crazy. Like, they're just like, again, this is psychotic, and I'm trying to, like, move on past all of this.
Sure.
But we did hang out, and we are friends, and we did put our phones side by side. And at one point, he was texting us at the exact same time.
Yeah.
I was on the road with Natalie, and it's, like, 1:07 a.m., and he's like, miss you. And then at 1:07 a.m., he's like, come over to her. And it's, like, the same minute? What? That's kind of crazy.
The same minute?
Come on, dude.
The same minute is tough.
That's psychotic.
But maybe he missed you and he was thinking about you while she was doing whatever she did.
Yeah. Totally. What a beautiful reef. Should I call him?
I miss her so much. I'm imagining her right now.
Maybe that was it. Totally. Yeah.
It could be. I mean, listen. No. Let's not put it to the side. This guy might actually be very progressive.
He loves me so much. Yeah, no, I think that one's dead in the water.
So. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, it's okay.
I wouldn't respect you if you went back.
No, I wouldn't either.
I don't think you would, though.
I would never.
Good for you.
Thank you so much.
But yeah, that was a fun experience. That was also the first like extended amount of time we had hung out.
Yeah.
I mean, we had literally hung out for like the duration of a show once before that.
Mm-hmm.
And then like, you know, half an hour at the stand before that.
Yeah. So we we bonded. We went golfing. We went
Top Golf, thrifting. We did all my favorite things.
Those are my favorite things.
We thrift. We hit some golf balls. We hit
so many golf balls.
We did. We kind of got politely kicked out of Top Golf, which was nice.
You have to leave.
Yeah. It's just like, I do have to kick you guys out at some point. Like, yeah, that's fair.
I don't even know how long we golfed for. I was like in a blackout.
Yeah, you were really having a go at it.
I was.
You were just smacking those things. You were not there.
I wasn't, but I was, you know? Mm-hmm. It was a beautiful like flow state.
Yeah.
I was in flow state.
You really, it was just you and the clubs.
Yep, it really was.
That's all it was. And that's what you want it to be when you're golfing, you know?
It is. You're a big golfer.
I love golf. It's embarrassing how much I love golf.
5 years ago?
3 years ago.
So you're new.
I'm new, but man, am I good.
You're really good.
I am good.
I will give you that. It's amazing that you got that good in 3 years.
I'm obsessive about things that I like.
Yeah.
It's the addict in me for sure.
Someone told me once, or I read about it, that you can't have an addictive mindset, but I feel like I have that, but I've heard that it's not a thing. Have you heard that?
I've never heard that it's not a thing, and I would like to say that I have basically a lifetime of evidence that that's not the case.
That's how I feel.
Because I do get very... If there is like a gratifying payoff for something, comedy is the greatest example, mm-hmm. I get where I just like cannot get enough of it.
Yeah.
So like... And I've had many phases of things before that, like...
heroin.
Heroin was the greatest example, sure, yes. I mean, if we're going to talk about gratifying payoffs, I mean, who is heroin pretty sweet? So that's probably the best one.
Yeah.
And then what did I get into after that? In halfway, we did frisbee golf for a little bit.
Okay.
And that was really fun.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got really into pool for a while.
Okay.
I had my own like queue. I had my own fucking.
Wow. I would
go. No, it doesn't. It doesn't.
Doesn't have the
it
same.
It doesn't
payout.
Scratch the itch anymore. Totally. Now that I found golf, yeah. Literally, I went from like going and playing pool by myself during the day. Practicing and like doing drills and like watching videos and like trying to learn. To like playing golf, immediately stopped. I lost my cue. Don't care. Who gives a shit? I have golf now.
You have a new toy.
I do. Yeah. And golf, but golf is the one.
You think?
Yeah.
You're going to marry golf?
There's no, yeah. Oh, I'm fully committed to golf.
I stopped
playing basketball, which was my thing my whole life, because of golf.
You play in college?
I went to college to play, but I never played.
Where'd you go again?
University of Central Oklahoma.
Got it. And yeah. You went there to play, and you're like,
I went there. They asked me to walk on, and I went there, and then I never ended up playing. It's a lot. Drugs and
totally
heartbreak and you know, trauma and all that.
I get it.
Not good for stupid podcast or whatever. I mean, this seems is called.
Pretty stupid.
Yeah.
Or was it real? I'm sorry.
It's a bit darker than
I like to downplay all my problems and make them like haha, that was silly. But if those seem real,
some problems you go, I can't haha this one. I can't haha this one away. But yeah.
Well,
but
you know, this saying, trauma plus time equals comedy.
Sure, yeah. I mean, that's probably why I ended up doing this, huh? You know? That's why I'm here.
That's why I'm doing my stupid podcast. Mm-hmm. All right. Sorry, back to your storyline. I'm so sorry.
Oh, no. It's just, yeah.
Are you comfortable, by the way?
I'm comfortable.
Are you sure?
I'm never super comfortable, okay, if I'm being honest.
Is it because you're so large?
I just have a big body.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, big body. It's kind of tough, but flying, I feel pretty good.
Is flying hard for you?
Flying is the worst, yeah. And I also don't have enough money right now to fly super comfortably all the time. And I just refuse to pay $25 for a seat when there's like a, what is it? 4 out of 6 chance, whatever that number is, that I will get a seat that I'm okay with.
Yeah.
I prefer an aisle seat.
Yeah.
I can handle a window seat because I can kind of take over some space.
Yeah.
And then I have something to lean on. A middle seat makes me want to fucking kill myself.
I don't like them either, but I'm small. So.
And my knees go into the back of the seat. It's a problem.
I would freak out. I would have a freak out.
And I have like a bad back and bad hips.
Jesus.
Yeah. Which is why I stopped playing basketball.
I'm sure you love touring.
Yeah. Oh, it's the best. Just only being able to afford 7 a.m. flights,
yeah.
Being tired all the time.
Canceling shows.
Yeah, sorry, Kansas City.
But you're living the dream.
Living the dream.
This is what you wanted.
This is what I wanted. It is actually very cool.
We were being sarcastic, but I feel like you and I bonded a lot when we were together about touring and doing the things that you want and just knowing that this is part of the step.
Sure.
And also you do bigger shows with like Dan Soder, so it's like you've experienced what is, you know, coming for you and what you're working towards, but it makes it also hard when you're in your own rooms and you're like, fuck, this is hard.
Yeah, and sometimes it's like, I feel like I'm just kind of like crushing into the abyss. Like when I do really well, I'm like, nobody cares that I just did like a really good hour. Nobody cares. Like, people bought stickers and took pictures and then I just have to leave. And like, nobody cares that you just crushed for 45 people. You know what I mean? Which is okay, but it is a part of the process. And watching those other guys, I realize like there is like this sense of like always wanting there to be more. So you just have to be happy with where you're at. Because like then there's like the thing of like, I want to be able to sell more tickets to do the big room. But then when you do the big room, it's like, okay, well, not all the shows are sold out, or like a couple of the shows are like lightly attended or like whatever. And then we're like, the club had to give away tickets to fill the room or like whatever. And then you get to where you're like selling out, but then you're like, well, I want to move to theaters. And then there's a theater thing. And now there are fucking comics doing arenas. It's like, it never stops.
No, it does not.
It's like it's like, well, I can do arenas, and then it's like, well, why didn't Saudi Arabia ask me to come to their comedy festival or whatever, you know? So it's just like, there's always something where it's just like, there's always more. Totally. The ceiling is so high in comedy now, it's in comparison crazy to what it used to be.
Yeah.
And it
all feels so within reach because it's like, we're all like in the same rooms as these people. Like I just did a show with Cam Patterson and it's like, you're on SNL. Like, we're on the same lineups, but we're just not doing the same shit. Uh-huh. And it's like, it's torture because it's like, you're right here. We're hanging out. We're in the same hang, but also.
Yeah. I didn't start with Cam. Cam lived in Orlando and I lived in West Palm, but I knew him in Florida. And to be fair, Cam is like a generational talent. It's like truly mind blowing to watch. And I even remember I did a show with him in West Palm Beach. It was a comedy competition at a kava bar. I don't know if you guys have kava bars here.
I think we do.
They're disgusting, like, dens for just, like, misdemeanor level criminals and drug addicts who, like, are, like, sober but, like, drink kava and kratom every day. But we did this show, and the competition was formatted in a way where you do a 3-minute set, and then if you make it past the first round, you then, I think you close with a 5-minute set. And Cam drove 2.5 hours with, like, his dad and one of his dad's friends to do this. And I realized, like, oh, like, this guy drove for what could have ended in just a 1 3-minute set for, like, 15 people. Mm-hmm. And I, at the time, was doing it, and I felt like this is a thing where if I don't win, this is bullshit. Yeah. You know, like, that's how, like, just, like, what it was. And I remember thinking, like, I'm gonna win. I knew all the other comics, basically, except for Cam. And I saw Cam go up, and I went, oh, fuck. Because he was, like, a year in.
No way.
And he, like, smashed.
Yeah.
Like for what the room was, like, just destroyed. And I was like, fuck. And then he made it to the final round, and I did beat him.
No not way. Trying to bag.
Yeah, I remind him all the time.
That's amazing.
We send TikToks back and forth to each other. Like, he'll ignore my... Don't get me wrong. I'm not, like, special. He will ignore my texts for, like, a month. But he will send me TikToks. I will ask him a question over text, and then 10 minutes later, he will send me a TikTok, and then he will not respond to that text
message. That's hilarious.
He's also a superstar who's very busy, so it's fine.
Well, and also, you can see the way his mind is just all over the place. Yeah, like, he walks into a room, and you're like, wow, what's going on?
Every once in a while, in that TikTok message, I'll be like, this is hilarious. Also, remember that I beat you in a comedy competition. Like, I do it all the time.
And you should apply to SNL.
And honestly, he got third. He didn't even get second. He got third. He should have got second, to be fair.
Yeah.
But yeah. So
how long ago was that?
Fuck. I mean, I don't even know now. Yeah. I'd have to look. I had a mustache, so it was probably 2021 or two.
Okay.
That's how I base a lot of my life. It's like, did I have a mustache?
Well, you kind of have one right now.
I always have one. I've had one for a long time. But there's pre-mustache and post-mustache.
I see. Okay.
So, but yeah. And he was just, like, very obviously, like, okay, this guy's very, very talented.
Did you move to Austin at the same time?
He moved, like, a couple months before me.
Got it.
By the time I got there, he was already a superstar. I mean, it was, like, one of those things where I was like, oh, cool, guy Cam is moving there. And I already knew I was going to move there. Yeah. I was just kind of putting everything in place. And then by the time I got there, he was, like, a celebrity.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. My sister sent me the Kill Tony where he's like, I like rocks.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And it's, like, my sister, who doesn't give a fuck about comedy, sends me that. And that's when I first found out about him, was, like, his I Like Rocks video that just, like, blew up really big. And, yeah, I mean, then it's, like, I've done a few shows with him, like, at the Sunset Strip. And he walks in. He's, like, the most charismatic person. Then he goes on and murders. And you're like, yeah, you're just
he Cam just killing is, it. Listen, I don't, like... Like, there's a lot of hate that goes on with the Kill Tony universe, and rightfully so, right? For a lot of it, huh?
Clip that.
I don't give a shit. I don't give a shit. Clip that. I don't care. You know, what's Tony gonna fucking? I don't know. Fuck him. But Cam, and I will say this every time that I can, is the nicest guy. When he walks into a green room, there could be somebody who is his best friend sitting next to somebody who is, like, a legitimate, like well-known stand-up comic sitting next to an open micer who had to bark to get his 5-minute guest spot on that show, and he dabs everybody up the exact same. Mm-hmm. He does it when he leaves. He does it when he arrives. He's very nice, and he crushes.
It's amazing.
And he's honest about his he's actually too critical about himself. Mm-hmm. He'll, like, have a good set and be like, I bombed, which is good.
Yeah.
Because it would be very easy to be him. And, like, those guys in Austin, those Kill Tony guys, like, a lot of, like, when they go up, they get, like, people are so, those are the, like, when people come to Austin to go to comedy shows, when they do the comedy tourism thing, that's who they're hoping to see. Yeah. Like, when they just go to a random show, the fingers are crossed for, like, I hope I get to see somebody I know.
Mm-hmm.
One of the craziest experiences I've ever had, like, watching comedy, it was New Year's, weekend of New Year's Eve. And I don't think it was this past year. I think it was the year before. And Kill Tony was doing, like, the arena in Austin, like the HEB arena. and they did two back-to-back nights. So there were a lot of people in town for that, but they were, and we were at Creek in the Cave doing the Filthy Show, which is like a weekly late showcase on Saturday. And it was packed because there was a bunch of people in town for Kill Tony, so they were all going to shows and whatever. And Cam left the arena, was upset with the way that his show, his set went. Mm-hmm. So he went to the Creek in the Cave. He just performed for like, I think it was, it's either 4,000 or 8,000 people. Wow. I don't remember. In an arena. And was so unhappy with his set that he went to Creek in the Cave. And when the host brought him up, the ovation that this crowd gave him gave me goosebumps. Wow. Like it was, and he's like dabbing people up in the front row. It was crazy. I have never seen a crowd react for one person like that since the, like before or since. Mm-hmm. It was absolutely insane.
That's wild.
It was nuts.
And then he murdered.
Yeah.
And then he felt better.
And then he crushed. And then I think he felt better. Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah. Anyways, it's enough Cam Patterson glazing. I mean, he's got it good enough. We don't have to sit here and talk about how great he is, but no, he is the man.
I do think it also just comes down to like hard work and respecting a fellow comic. Like, for example, you telling that story reminds me of when Usama did the Colbert Show. Mm-hmm. And then he came to Greenwich after and did a set. And I was like, that's crazy. I would be out eating lobster, like, be like, I made it.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah. No, you're just back to status quo. And I do think that's comedy in general, where it's like you'll do arenas or you'll do a late night spot, but then you're just going to end up back at a regular club and yeah. You're going to do the same shit. And that's just the cycle that we're all doing.
There's always the come down.
Always.
There's always the set after that really cool weekend mm-hmm. or that really yes. cool set or that accomplishing
yeah.
thing that you did where you're back.
Yeah.
I mean, every single time it happens.
It's interesting what we have to go through and like the rooms you experience and then going back to other ones. And it's just like your ego is just always fluctuating. And you're always humbled, but then you're also doing these cool things. And I think to back to self-awareness, it's like I do think comedy puts a mirror on yourself all the time. And like it mm-hmm. might be like even unhealthy to a certain degree of always experiencing these things.
There can be an unhealthy. Yeah. But it's also like, yeah, it's a weird thing because you can literally feel like a superstar, mm-hmm. like an unstoppable force.
Yeah.
You just like crush and people after the show are like, you are fucking great. And they're buying merch or whatever. Mm. And they're just following you. And it's like insane. And then you do just have to go back to the hotel
yeah.
and like have an argument with like your loved one or like what, you
or
know,
get
like
McDonald's
or like, yeah, like you just have to like, you just okay. have to like get Taco Bell and jerk off at the hotel. Like it is very humbling yeah. in that like, way.
Oh, right. I'm still just me.
Yeah. That is a thing that I like about New York is like, you can do like you'll have a great show and people will be really nice and then you're just like in the street with everybody else and nobody gives a fuck.
Yeah.
Like even like I've walked around here with people who are like, you know, like I would say pretty recognizable mm. and like it's just like thousands of people just walk straight by. They don't give a fuck. No, you know?
Especially I like that on McDougal Street because the Comedy Cellar is there and mm-hmm. then I work the club down a few whatever block. And it's like everyone's going in and out of that club. It's one of the craziest streets. And it's like no one's going to look twice at anyone.
Yeah.
And it's so interesting.
I do really love how I like how big this city is, but it's also very small
mm-hmm.
in a weird way. Like the boroughs and the specific neighborhoods can be really small. The other night I was taking a train from Bushwick to Sesh and there were these two girls sitting across from me and they were probably 25. They were younger and they were dressed like they were going out. They were sharing a bottle of apple juice that obviously had, I could smell the liquor yeah. from across the train yeah. and they were being funny or whatever. And I like kept seeing them do silly things and they would see me see them. And like, so like, you know, we like were aware that each other existed. Right.
Yeah.
And then whatever, I got off the train, night went on. The next morning I'm walking from the coffee shop and I see a girl walking towards me, big hoodie, like obviously a man's like plaid sweatpants, sandals with like a bag on her shoulder, just like obviously pretty banged up.
Yeah.
And it was one of those girls.
Stop.
And she saw me see her and she like, it was one of those things where she looked and then she looked and then she went, oh my God. And then she took her head, she had like headphones like this. She took them off
mm-hmm.
and then I went, hey. And she was like, oh my God. And I was like, did you have a good night? And then she just walked off. Like she was just so, I think she was so like embarrassed and probably hungover and just like, that's the guy from the train last night. Like it was like, yeah, it was.
That's a crazy New York story.
It was weird.
That's crazy.
I almost wish that she had talked to me. Yeah. I would have loved to have been like, so what happened? You know? But she that just is, disappeared off into the street.
Damn. And she's probably telling the story to someone else. Like, I was on the train. This guy.
She for sure texted her friend who I saw her with and was like, you will never believe who I just ran into in the street.
That's so crazy. Did they get on the same stop as you somewhere? Like, or was it a total coincidence?
I think we got on at the same stop, which does make it make more sense.
But still. But the timing.
I mean, the timing is insane.
No, I love those moments in New York where, like, I've seen someone one day, like, in a certain neighborhood, like, with a pink hat on, so I clock who they are. And then I'll be, like, in another neighborhood hours later, and I'll see them again. And I want to be like, damn, I saw you earlier. But they're like, it's like, okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
One of the first times I was here, this is a couple of years ago now, I guess, but I matched with a girl on a dating app. And then I messaged her, and she never responded. I was like, okay, like, whatever. It's not a big deal. And I was walking to the train and I walked by this coffee shop and she was sitting outside the coffee shop bawling, like just crying. And I was just like,
dodged a bullet.
Maybe that's why. Maybe that's why she didn't respond.
That's so crazy.
I thought it was so funny.
That's hilarious.
Where I was just like, And there's a part of me that wonders if she saw, like, you know what I mean? Like if she saw me.
The city's too small. I mean, like, okay, I just got accepted into this group that I need to just not even bother with, but it's called Are We Dating the Same Guy?
Yeah, classic. Classic. Love that. Is it on Facebook?
Yeah. And it's so silly. And it's like, I don't even, it's, the drama is ridiculous, but like, I don't date that much at all. But I'm in there for maybe 10 minutes swiping through and I see three people that I've like hooked up with, dated. Like, it's, that's how small this city is. Not only is it three men from like the past, whatever, year and a half, that I like encountered. It's like they're, somebody took the time to put their photo on this site and comment and be like, careful with this one. Don't mess with this one. Yeah. And I was like, this city is too small.
It's crazy because this is like one of the biggest cities in the world.
Yeah.
But you can't escape the men, I guess.
No, I was like, this is a sign to just.
I do love going through those. If I can get some of the posts are public or whatever. Like, you know, I'm not a member of any of the groups.
Yeah.
I don't know that they would accept me in.
I think it's for women only.
Mm-hmm. But every once in a while, one will come up and it'll be like, are we dating the same guy, Lafayette, Louisiana? And I'm like, yeah, well, let's see what these folks are up to.
Yeah.
And yeah, and it's just some guy with like, you know, neck tattoos and like, watch out for this guy. He borrowed my car and didn't return it for a week or whatever. Yeah. And then some other girl under it is like, yeah, he did the same thing to me.
It's yeah, I have two of his kids.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, yeah.
Yeah. It's dark out here.
Yeah. I hope I don't ever end up on one of those.
You gotta check out Are We Dating the Same Guy, Austin? Sure, that exists.
I feel like I would know there because do you know about the T app as well?
Dylan told me about it.
Yeah, I don't know where geographically where it exists or where it's popping, but there was a time in Austin where it was brought to my attention, and I was really happy to not be on it. I'm not really out there doing fuck shit or anything.
Totally.
So,
and I feel like you're very honest. You're an honest person.
Yeah,
you're self-aware. You're sober, which I'm sure really also helps.
Yeah, yeah.
I really respect your sobriety, and I mean, I think about going back all the time because I was sober for a year. Mm-hmm. Why are you looking at me like that?
Just it's fun. Yeah, I just like the way you said it. I think about going back, like it was a trip to Italy. Like it was so nice and freeing. I would really love to if I can find the time to go back. I'm gonna go back. Like you say it as if it was a vacation.
I mean, it really was, and it really was so good for me. And it's hard living life going back to drinking because it's like I see a split in the road where it's like I picture my life if I had stayed sober, and there's all these choices I made while drinking. And then it's like you would have. It's like I picture what my life would be over there, and it's really hard to have this split mindset of like, oh, well, if you weren't drinking, you wouldn't have done that, and then it wouldn't lead to that. And then because I say things, I get drunk. And you saw me a little drunk. Uh-huh. And, it's not my best. It's not my best look.
It's not your best. It's not that bad.
It's not great.
It's not your best for sure. And yeah, and that's okay though. You know, you. it's all about having the experience.
Self-awareness.
It's good that you know that it's bad.
Yeah.
But you still do it, which that's the downside of self-awareness.
Yeah.
Is sometimes being aware of the things that you know you're gonna do again are not that fun.
Yeah.
You know, but that's okay.
I saw your 9-year sober post. Congrats. Mm-hmm, that's awesome. You. And it's funny. It was a day after I had made some questionable choices while drinking. And it was the first thing that came up. And I was like, that's a sign.
I had a couple comics be like, thank you for posting this. I'm having a really hard time drinking. And, you know, I get those all the time. And I'll like, especially if it's a comic that I know, mm-hmm. even a little bit, I'll be like, yeah, if you ever want to talk, here's my number. No one ever.
Yeah.
No one ever. It's always that moment. That moment of like it being, it's like 10 a.m. You just slept later than you meant to because you were drunk last night.
Yeah.
You have anxiety that after your set, you might have said something weird to somebody. You smoke too many cigarettes. Your chest hurts. And you're going, fuck. Look at this guy. He's sober. 9 years.
That's me.
Wow. That's amazing.
I ripped too many zins. I sent a text I didn't need to send.
Oh, no.
I felt like shit. And then boom, 9 years sober. I was like, God damn it.
You're like, maybe I need to get my life together.
Yeah.
I'm glad to be an inspiration for people.
You are.
You know, even whether or not you do anything about it.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
I might act on it, you know?
I think I support anybody getting sober. I will say this. As a, like, I mean, what I have identified myself as, which is like a certified like drug addict and alcoholic.
Right.
Sometimes people come to me who want to limit their drinking or they just want to take a little bit of time off. And they are like, by my analysis of them, not like an alcoholic.
Right.
I go, I have nothing for you. I really don't. Like
until you hit a kid with your car.
Like get a hobby. Like that's my only thing I can say is like,
yeah.
I don't know, like find a hobby that doesn't directly involve drinking.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, I mean like I support it. Like I think anybody trying to like limit negative things in their life is like great.
Mm-hmm.
So I support that fully. But like, I don't know, man. Like I had this buddy. I mean, we're still buddies, but when I first moved to Austin, he was trying to go, you know, dry January, whatever it was. He was like, and he kept trying to ask me about advice with women when he's sober.
Mm.
And I'm like, yeah, I don't know, dude. Like at this point I'd been sober for like 7 or 8
yeah.
years. And like before that I wasn't like being on heroin. You're not like a ladies man.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like it wasn't like I was like, oh man, I don't know how I'm gonna have all this game now that I'm off heroin. Like it wasn't like so like my journey into like dating like and like whatever with like women was like not like wasn't like a relearned thing.
Yeah.
It wasn't like I was like going out at bar because he was like, it's so easy when you're like 6 or 7 brews deep and you're chatting, having fun with a girl, you just like kind of make out with her at the bar. And then that's like, that's how you know. And then you ask her if she wants to come back to yours. And if she says no, you lost. And if she says yes, you know what it is. And I'm like, yeah, I mean, I don't know how to tell you, like, go to coffee with a woman. I don't know what to tell you. You know what I mean?
So just be yourself. Fully?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I will say it does take away the like facade and the layers that we hide behind. And it honestly, like, it gets you further along in a better way. So it's like, sorry, you got to be yourself.
Yeah.
That sucks.
I'm sorry that you have to experience emotion and in vulnerability in like a real way.
Yeah.
Cause that is kind of what it
is.
To be fair though, like I'm not like, you're not gonna catch me out like at any like I'm not like approaching a woman in public. I'm not like
just in the DMs.
That is where I do my best work.
Totally, you have a whole resume behind you of very funny work.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, like hey, yeah. Look, I got my portfolio is here.
Yeah,
it's a good
resume.
Well, thank you, but. But yeah, so I don't have advice for my friends who want to do that stuff.
Well, then good luck, buddies. Fair. I mean, yeah, I feel like you're talking to me a little bit too, where you're like, if you're not a real alcoholic, get your shit together.
No, it's not like get your shit together, but it's just like, I mean, the advice that I would have for sobriety is going to seem super intense to you. You know
really?
What I mean? Yeah.
Like what would you say?
Well, like, just like the, I don't know. It's... you know, it's all anonymous. You're not really supposed to talk about all of it. All
right, fine. Not that I was kind of excited for
it. Not that it's a secret, but it's like, you know, well, if you were to do like 12-step stuff.
Right.
I can just tell by your face. You're like, well, I don't need that. You know?
No, it's not that.
But the first point of that is like accepting like utter powerlessness over like alcohol. And it's like, well, that's a bit extreme.
Totally.
I have a couple drinks sometimes and it's fine.
I see why you said that.
You know what I mean?
That's so fair.
And then the work that the stuff that comes after that is even more intense. So,
yeah. Okay. Then I'll just pretend that I'm fine.
You are fine.
Thanks.
You know, you could use a little work, but we all could.
That's so true.
Yeah.
That was beautiful. I think we should wrap this up.
Okay.
Do you have any final thoughts?
This is great. I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry for bailing on it last time.
It's okay. You didn't have to say that.
Okay. You can cut that. You can cut that with the other stuff.
I don't really edit that much.
Yeah, I didn't think so. Yeah.
It's just a flow. I like to keep the art of the conversation, you know?
Yeah, I think that's important.
Because when you cut it up, then it's like, where'd they go? How'd they get here? You know, it's like, mm-hmm. a conversation's like a painting, you know?
Sure, yeah.
And we have this beautiful masterpiece now.
Yeah, this was truly a masterpiece of a podcast.
I think so.
I really do think so.
Okay. Anything you want to plug? Handle?
You can follow.
Oh my god, that is...
Wow, that's aggressive. Who's FaceTiming you? Chloe. Oh, it's fucking Chloe LaBranche.
Should we get her in here?
Chloe, what do you want?
Oh my god!
I told you I was doing this. We can cut the... Follow my Instagram, it's Matt Ross Comic.
Thanks for joining, bye! 4:30 p.m.
Yeah.